Good morning. Thank you for coming to the session. We have a packed session, five speakers, and very good speakers. Our first speaker is Dr. Case Hagen, and she is an assignee with the Maternal and Child Health Epidemiology Program in the Field Support Branch of the Division of Reproductive Health at CDC. Long one, yeah. She is one of the assignees. So she currently serves as the CDC assignee senior MCH epidemiologist to the state of Vermont's Department of Health and Mental Health, where she conducts public health research and surveillance on child and youth mental, emotional, behavioral health, and risk factors associated with poor health outcomes. So let's welcome our first speaker, Dr. Case Hagen.
Thanks, Sarah Jeannie. So this is my first time as an assignee to ever be able to use the state template, and this is really the state template for the presentations, and everybody was commenting about how lovely it is. It really is this lovely in Vermont. So good morning. Before I start, I'd like to thank my co-authors and some of my colleagues at the Department of Health and the Department of Mental Health, Patsy Kelso, the state epidemiologist, Charlie Biss, Laura Almland, and Melissa Bailey. They've really contributed to the work that I'm doing and the direction of how we hope to use some of the results. So for my presentation, I'm going to give you a little bit of background around ACEs and Adverse Family Experiences, or AFEs, talk a little bit about my study question and why we are looking at it, go over the methods and the results, of course, talk a little bit about the limitations, and then talk some about the conclusions and recommendations we have. So ACEs, or adverse childhood experiences, are adverse traumatic experiences occurring in childhood and encompass events like emotional, physical, and sexual abuse, emotional and physical neglect, and familial or household challenges, such as divorce and separation, incarceration of a parent or a household member, substance abuse and mental illness, including depression and suicide attempts of a household member, and domestic violence. The foundational study, the CDC Kaiser ACE study, examined relationships between ACEs and reduced health and well-being later in life. Between 1995 and 1997, over 17,000 middle-class American adults completed confidential surveys containing information about their childhood experiences and current health status and behaviors. This information was combined with results from physical exams and formed the first CDC Kaiser ACE study findings. Since that first study, ACEs have been found to be associated with a wide range of behavioral, mental, and physical health outcomes, increased risk behaviors, and premature death. Studies indicate that as the number of ACEs increase, the risk of adverse health outcomes also increase. In 2012 and 2011, the National Survey of Children's Health included questions about adverse family experiences, or AFEs, of subject survey children. AFE questions are similar to ACE questions, but differ in two important ways. The questions are asked of the parent responder to the survey rather than the subject child, and there are no questions about emotional, physical, or sexual abuse or emotional neglect. So why do adverse experiences matter? When I was assigned to the state of Vermont, there was already ongoing work around ACEs, and the state had a large statewide ACEs conference prior to my assignment there in 2014. And several years earlier, they had implemented the ACEs modules in the BRFS survey for two consecutive years. So they had really good data around ACEs and adults in Vermont. And this propelled the state to start thinking about more concretely about the prevention that they could do around adverse family experiences and adverse childhood experiences. And many of the health districts form work groups on ACE, on ACEs and trauma-related work. But what they didn't have was the data for children and youth. And few people were aware of the National Survey of Children's Health. So one of the first projects that I took on in the state was to analyze the data so that we could have a better understanding of what the familial experiences were for children in Vermont, and to help us understand the relationship of those experiences to outcomes, other types of risk behaviors, environmental, school, and household variables. So if the previous slide didn't make the point, what we wanted our partners to know is that if we think that early childhood experiences are a link to health, school, or work outcomes in adulthood, then shifting our focus to adverse family experiences of children gives us the opportunity to intervene early before poor health outcomes play out and work or school outcomes. So our study question was to explore whether Vermont school-aged children, 6 to 17 years of age, who have been exposed to adverse family experiences, have less resilience and more difficulties engaging in schools. There have been only a handful of studies that have looked at this relationship between work or school performance and adverse experiences. But as you might imagine, and you probably know, there are many adults who have experienced adverse experiences and do not have poor outcomes. So we also explored whether resilience might buffer or moderate the effect of adverse experiences on school engagement. So the data source we used was the National Survey of Children's Health. The most recent iteration is from 2011 and 2012. We examined adverse family experiences and measures of resilience and school engagement on 1,330 Vermont children between the ages of 6 to 17 years of age who were included in the National Survey of Children's Health. The unweighted, again, is 1,330 children, and the weighted population is 85,840 children. The state of Vermont's quite small. The total population in the state is about 626,000, and for kids under 18 years of age, that's a population of about 126,000. So the survey actually represents a sizable portion of our child population. We used descriptive, bivariate, and multivariable analytic techniques to explore the relationship among these variables. Covariates and potential confounders were identified through a review of the literature. And the list on the right-hand side are the short list, if you will, of the variables that were retained in all of the final models, so child sex, age, special health care need, household poverty level, and maternal, physical, and emotional mental health. In addition to the ACEs. Resilience is one of three questions of school-aged children relating to the construct of flourishing. Another word for that is thriving. And it's defined as stays calm and in control when faced with a challenge. School engagement is measured by two questions, which include whether the child completes all required homework and cares about doing well in school. So this slide shows the prevalence of each of the adverse experiences. I also included in this gray colored bar, let's see right here, residential mobility. And this was a category that we created from a continuous variable on the survey, and it represents children who moved four or more times since birth. And that's because residential mobility can be a disruptive event for many children, particularly school-aged children. And it can also be a symptom or a response to economic conditions or parental stability. And I'm going to apologize ahead of time. This whole part right here, some of my legend for some of the bars has magically disappeared, and we can't find them. So just bear with me here. So this line that's across the bottom here is at the 10% level. It's the weighted percentage or the prevalence. Five of our AFEs, including residential mobility, are more common than asthma, which affects about 1 in 10 children in Vermont of this age group. And overall, among Vermont children and youth between 6 to 17 years of age, you can see that about 1 in 3 children, this is that dark blue bar right here, experience divorce or separation of their parents. An interesting side note is that Vermont has a divorce and separation rate that is about 7 percentage points higher than the rest of the United States. We're not really sure why. 1 in 5 of the children experienced a family income hardship, and that includes something like difficulty paying rent, difficulties putting food on the table, and stable housing. 1 in 6 of our children lived with a parent or guardian who had substance use problems. 1 in 8, this little bar right here, have lived with a parent or guardian who was mentally ill, severely depressed, or suicidal. And 1 in 10 of the children experienced violence or witnessed neighborhood violence. And then these bars right here represent domestic violence right here. This bar right here is incarceration or death of a parent, incarceration, and this is death of a parent. Those were not as common. And I also want to point out that the way the questions are worded in the survey, they include the parent or guardian of the child. They don't include siblings, other adults in the household, uncles, grandparents, who might contribute or be a part of that household. So it really only looks at the adverse family experiences directly related to the parent, so the drinking or the mental illness. So first slide on some of the characteristics of children. So in this subsample, we looked at the children by the number of adverse family experiences they had. So none, 1 or 2, and then 3 or more. There's a lot of data here, so I'm just going to move forward to some of the big highlights. In comparing the characteristics by the number of family experiences, we did find that there were fewer children who had 3 or more adverse family experiences, who had no special health care need, lived in a household above 300% of the federal poverty level, and had a mother with excellent or very good physical and mental emotional health. When we looked at the characteristics for our outcome variables, school engagement and resilience, we found that there were also fewer children who had 3 or more adverse family experiences, who were usually or always engaged in school, did the required homework, and exhibited resilience. So this is what you guys have been waiting for. We conducted multivariable logistic regression to look at school engagement and its two elements, as well as resilience. And this slide shows the modeling results for school engagement and the homework element, as well as resilience, after we adjusted for sex, age, special health care need, poverty level, and maternal, physical, mental, and emotional health, children who had 3 or more or 1 and 2 adverse family experiences versus no adverse experiences had greater odds of not completing all required homework, and that's this one right here, and children who had more than three or more, or 1 to 2 adverse family experiences versus no adverse experiences had higher odds of not exhibiting resilience. And that's down here on this one. So this slide now shows our adjusted odds when we control for resilience, in addition to sex, age, special health care need, poverty level, and maternal, physical, mental, emotional health status. And children who experienced 3 or more adverse family experiences had improved odds of completing all required homework, suggesting that resilience moderates or improves the odds of completing homework. Something about limitations. So these data are not actually reported by the child. They're reported by the parent or guardian who completed the survey. So that does introduce the possibility of both recall and detection bias. The survey also doesn't cover all types of adverse experiences. So as you might imagine, we're really missing out on some of the more traumatic experiences that might actually lead to a reportable event. So that could actually underestimate a lot of the adverse experiences that we capture on the ACEs study of adults. It's also quite difficult to separate the specific contribution of adverse experiences and residential or school mobility to outcomes because there is a complex relationship among social disadvantage, housing conditions, and family and neighborhood characteristics. So in conclusion, and I'm going to sum this up really fast instead of read everything on the slide, children with three or more adverse experiences may have additional obstacles in attaining developmental milestones associated with resilience and engaging in school. And by helping children build and improve skills related to resilience and coping and social emotional regulation, school performance may be improved. Our recommendations. Vermont hasn't gotten it all right, but there are a number of things that Vermont's doing. So we recognize that school can be one of those front lines for identifying children exposed to adverse experiences. Workforce development for school personnel can include focused activities to increase knowledge about and the potential impact of adverse experiences and the strategies they can use to support students in school settings. Many of our school districts have formal relationships with the local mental health agencies to provide school-based mental health services, and addressing the emotional and behavioral health and promoting and building skills and resilience of students in school settings can help improve the likelihood of school success. There are effective models for wellness promotion and prevention for the general population of students and early intervention activities to protect students who are at risk. There also are some targeted treatments for students with emotional behavior and behavioral disorders that exist and that could be applied in both school and community settings. Thank you very much, and I'd be happy to entertain questions.
Thank you. I would like to request, if you have questions, please come to the mic so that we can record it. So we will entertain some questions and after each presentation. And at the end, if you have time, we'll go ahead and ask more. So
no questions? Stunned silence usually is something that occurs after my presentation.
She has a question. We have a question.
Anusha from Cook County Department of Public Health. So I have a quick question. What type of survey tool did you use for this study?
So the data come from a national survey that is representative and generalizable to the entire United States. It's called the National Survey of Children's Health. It's conducted by the Center for Health Statistics in conjunction with the Maternal and Child Health Bureau. It has been conducted every 4 years. It's now moving to an annual cycle. And so the data are collected using the SLATES survey, but I think it will move to a new format when they start collecting the data every year.
So can we reproduce this at the county level? What suggestion do you have for?
Everybody wants to use this data locally, and I really understand that drive. So the data are publicly available at national and state level. For the local level, that is restricted data. So you'd need to work with the National Center for Health Statistics. Okay. You would request a data set that is for Cook County.
Okay.
And there's a whole process at the National Center for Health Statistics to do it. Given the size of Cook County, may actually have a survey sample that might be useful. There are other counties, much smaller counties, might not have the same luck.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, thanks. This has been a really awesome presentation. This is a very in-the-weeds question, but I wondered about your cut point of three or more versus four or more, because I feel like in studies I've seen both of those cut points, and I wondered if you could expand upon that.
So I explored the cut point of three or more, four or more, or five or more. And really for the estimates, they were really more stable at three or more. When we got down to four or more, we started having very, very small numbers in some of the categories. So it was mainly a decision, you know, for the statistics. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.